When I was thinking about the year, I looked at the calendar 2017, and I know some of you have felt this way too because you said as much. You look back and you wonder where the years have gone. They just keep going, don't they? And today is a brand new year again. I don't know if calendars mean anything to God. I really don't. They seem to mean a bunch of stuff to us. But I don't know that calendars mean much to God. But here we are on a January 1st again of 2017, a brand new year. And I suppose that some of us have made resolutions. Have you made resolutions this morning? You don't have to tell me what they were, but have you made resolutions? Nobody's into that. Some of you are. Well, I hope that you're successful. Statistics say that by February or March, you'll probably quit. Whatever you resolve to do. But I want to encourage you to read the Word this year. I want to encourage you to read it every day. I'm going to be talking about transformation for the next couple of months, off and on. And I picked that topic because of the statistics I see of the lack of understanding and knowledge of the Bible in America today. And so I want to encourage you to read the Word. And I know people have said, well, I've read it, Jim, so what, no big deal. Well, that means you know it all then, perhaps. I know I don't. And so I keep reading it every day, every year, and I want to encourage you to do the same, because we keep learning from the voice of God, from the Word of God. And so if you haven't made any resolutions and want to, I would encourage you to read the Word of God. Read it clear through. Pray. Maybe you haven't got a regular habit of praying, but I want to encourage you to pray and fast and to love. Jesus said to love our neighbors. Jesus said to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Jesus said to love our enemies. And so maybe those are some resolutions we could think about: reading, praying, fasting, loving those that are around us in new ways. My resolution to you is this: to make the message plain and clear. That's my prayer. And my resolution to you is to make the message, the Word of God, plain and clear for us to understand. And I want to focus this first part of the year on transformation. I want to show us again from Scripture what transformed lives look like. And you might shrug your shoulders and say, so what? So what? I already know that. But this is what God has put on my heart for the first part of this year. So I want to show us from Scripture over these weeks and maybe even months of what Jesus has called His church to look like and to be when we have been born again. Excuse me. So I resolved to do best that I can, God being my helper, to show you and to encourage you three things: to encourage you and to encourage this city, and to challenge you and to challenge the city to be born again. Because Jesus said, if we're not born again, we'll never see the kingdom of heaven. And further, I resolve to show and encourage you to how to live transformed lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is different than the world is going. You may or may not know that, but the transformed follower of Christ looks different than the world. Listen to me for a second, brothers and sisters. If Jim claims to be a follower of Christ and even a pastor, and say I'm still working at the factory or I'm doing anything else, and I look like just like the world, and I talk just like the world, and I do just what all the rest of the world does, why would anybody that's of the world want Christ? Because I look just like them, and I act just like them. And so I'm going to show us again, I resolve to help us from Scripture and to encourage us to live transformed lives for Christ. And we cannot do that until we've been born again. It's with the power of the Holy Spirit that we do that. I'm not saying Jim's got to work harder or you got to work harder. I'm saying we've got to surrender and submit to the Holy Spirit of God that we just sang about, and allow Him to really be Lord in our lives. And we will be transformed people because He is Lord. And we're not on the throne anymore. I resolve to help us see from Scripture how to do that better. To live transformed lives. And I resolve to help us know better what's in the Word of God. And you might think, why? Why would you do this, or why would I even care? Well, there's a lot of ways. There's a lot of whys, I mean. Apostle Paul said it, and James said it this way, when they said, be doers of the word, not just hearers. I fear that far too often I have been guilty, and perhaps you have too. We want to just get by with Jesus. Well, I'm pretty good, and after all, I get to church once in a while. Or I fear too often we just want to get by. We really don't want to get serious. We really don't want to change lifestyles. We really don't want to change behaviors, habits, language. Or we really don't want to step out of the fun of the world. We use the argument, well, I'm a pretty good person, so why sweat the small details of the Bible? I'm telling you this morning, and I will talk to us for a while, Jesus calls us to follow Him, not the world. Amen? Amen? That's what He's called us to. And what He's laid on my heart these last weeks in preparation for this new year is, if the church isn't following Him, then why would the world want to? Excuse me. So over the course of the next weeks, I want to show us from Scripture what Jesus asked for when He asked His followers to follow. It's not to be taken lightly. He said that. Count the cost, He said, if you're going to follow Me. I want to show us the difference between saying, yes, I'm a believer, and actually living transformed lives. There is a difference. It's exhibited all around us. Maybe you've noticed. Why is this so important to me? As a pastor, as a fellow believer with you, I don't want Motley Free Methodist Church, or any other church for that matter, to just be some club gathering on Sunday mornings. I want us to be passionate about following Christ. I want us to be passionate in living transformed lives because God has come into our life. Why is it so important to me? I want to see people be passionate about lost people because Jesus has commissioned us. And I want to see church, this gathering, this congregation, but His church. I want to be part of that passionate movement of God that sees the lost and the hurting of our communities and where we come from and does something about that. That's what Jesus did, after all, when He was here. I want to be part of a body of believers that prays for revival and won't stop until it happens. Because that's what God wants. I want to see and be part of a body of believers that wants to live just like we sung, Holy Spirit, come and fill me, fill us. I want to be part of a body of believers that wants to live Holy Spirit lives, not lives of the world. I want to see the kingdom of God advanced in our communities like soldiers of an army marching onward with a mission. We've been commissioned. I want to be part of a body of believers that just doesn't want to see the number on the roll go up, but lost people found and lost people coming alive in Christ, lost people being saved, and those saved people wanting other lost people to be saved. If the church isn't going to do that, I don't think the world is going to do that either. And so I want to talk to us about transformation this year. The long and the short of it, I don't want to be lukewarm. Remember that word? Revelation, the letters. Jesus doesn't do lukewarm Christians. I don't want to be lukewarm, and I don't want us to be lukewarm. I don't want any church to be lukewarm. Jesus said, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. I don't have time for lukewarm. Last week, some of you were able to make it skating your way in through the ice, and we had a wonderful Christmas morning celebration, and I referred to an article that Eric Metaxas had written. And I referred to a little paragraph out of that. I wanted to refer to another paragraph. This was in the Federalist online articles. In Eric Metaxas, a lot of you know that name. said in this, in another paragraph in that same article, he said, the Bible remains phenomenally popular in America. Practically everyone has one in his or her home. And many families own four or five. But we own one, it seems today, in his questioning of Americans, excuse me, we own one and we keep one, and our love for the Bible seems to be no more than a love for an artifact or a keepsake or perhaps a lucky rabbit's foot. We've got one. We might have five, six of them. But we keep it as a, thank you, as an artifact on the shelf, he said in his article, with Grandpa's ashes. He says further, as he did this research and he did his studies, it was in the prisons of America, not the church, where he encountered the most vibrant and intimate familiarity with God's Word. Can you believe that? It was in the prison house, in the jailhouse, where he found people more in tune with the Word of God than in the church house. Most everyone else, his observations confirmed a recent Barna survey conducted at the American Bible Study, which found that less than half of the country can even name the first five books of the Old Testament. Our Awana kids can. That's tragic. Less than half of the Americans can name the first five books of the Old Testament. And also, he said, for the same statistic applies, the same percentage would say, well, John the Baptist was one of the 12 disciples. No. But half of America said, yeah, I think John the Baptist, he's one of the 12. And so my passion is, my burden, brothers and sisters, we don't even know what it's in the Word anymore. I want to help us know what's in the Word. I want to encourage you to read the Word. I'm going to read it every day. I got another brand new Bible. Sherry's got me some new Bibles lately. By the time I get them all read, I'm going to be an old man. But I like reading, even though it's New King James Version. The words aren't new. It's just a new Bible. I'm going to start on a brand new one tomorrow. And I want to encourage you to read the Bible, because in America, we're losing our understanding of the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, in the church house, if we've lost the understanding of the Word of God, how are we going to be obedient to God if we don't even know what's in the Word of God? And so my pledge to you is to help us understand we must be born again, and to help us understand what it looks like to live as disciples of Jesus, and to help us understand again some of the richness of the Word of God. Jesus commissioned us, after all, me and us, go and make disciples. He didn't say go make church members. He said go and make disciples. He's commissioned us to make disciples that follow Jesus. And so we're going to spend some time on what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And we're going to look again what it means to live Holy Spirit transformed lives. And I'm going to be doing this intermittently, and I got to hurry up today so we can celebrate communion too. But Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 14, you are the light of the world. And in Matthew 5, 16, he said, start letting your light shine. Start letting people see that Jesus lives in you. If the church isn't going to do that, nobody else is going to either. Everyday living. I'm not saying, and neither is Jesus here, that you're all going to be pastors like I am, or missionaries, or evangelists. I am simply saying, I am reiterating what Jesus said, as followers of Christ, you have the light in you. Let it shine for Him in everyday living, in everyday work. When we just look like the world, our light goes out. It's dim, and nobody wants a hypocrite for their lifestyle. They want to see the hurting world around us, wants to see the light of Jesus. The world wants the truth. We want the truth. The world wants the truth. Jesus is the truth. He said, my word is the truth. I send you the Spirit of truth. But if the world never sees the light in human beings, Christians, then why would they want the light? I hope you're as excited about this journey as I am. I like to learn what's in the Bible. Not only do I like to learn it, I like to share it. And I got to wrap this up in 5 minutes so we can go to communion. But may I say one more thing before I read just a little scripture? I'm not preaching to you as much as I'm preaching to Jim. Okay? The Holy Spirit of God speaks to Jim. And I am encouraging you as I read scripture and share scripture week after week after week, I am encouraging you to follow the Master. Follow the Master in a way that you haven't been before. Follow the Master in a way that perhaps the world, the church in the world isn't doing that good a job of today. Follow the Master. I'm not perfect. You know that, and I know it. But I have the unique privilege of being the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's all I am, is the voice sharing the good news of Jesus. And so a couple of pieces of quick scripture today, and then we will, I'm just laying the groundwork here for where we're going in the next couple of months. And then we'll go and prepare for communion. John 12:26. Jesus said, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. I'm going to use that word over and over and over, friends, because there is a difference. If I claim the name of Christ, it is time to follow Christ and not let the devil and the world keep sucking me into their pathway. And Jesus said it over and over and over, if you're going to serve me, then follow me. Follow my example. Follow my teachings. He's basically saying, imitate me, Jesus said. Luke 9:57-62. Now it happened as he journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. It's easy to say, it's not as easy to do. Jesus simply said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hasn't got any place to lay his head. You really want to do it? You better get serious about it. Then he said, then he said to another one, follow me. But the person said, let me first go and bury my father. In other words, he's saying, in time. I'll get around to it, probably in time. Let me take care of some earthly things first. Jesus said to that person, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the word, the kingdom of God. Another one said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to who are at my house. In other words, let me live life a little while before I decide to follow you, before I get too serious about it. And here's how Jesus answered that. No one, Jesus said, having put his hand to the plow and looking back is even fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, don't say I'm going to follow Jesus and keep following the world. He wants us to surrender to Him. He wants us to be totally dedicated to Him. It doesn't mean you're all going to be pastors. But it means following Him, what you're doing. Everyday living. Follow Jesus. Imitate Jesus. Be obedient to Jesus. That's what transformed lives look like. And we invite Christ into our life. He wants to take up residence. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants to have us let our light shine, as he said back in Matthew, so that the world will see your good works, Christian, your good works, men and women, followers of Jesus, and glorify your Father in heaven. That's why he wants our lights to shine. To bring God glory, not Jim or not a denomination, but to bring God glory. And that's what I'm going to be challenging us with us for the next weeks, to live lives that have been transformed by the Holy Spirit of God. And that will not happen until we've been born again. So now I'm going to quit for today. I'm going to tell you this, that next Sunday, we're going to have a mortgage shredding party on Sunday morning. Our church has been paid for, and we are going to celebrate that. So there will be no sermons about transformation. There will be music, and there will be words from some people that I'm going to have invited to share a word or two. Next week, we're going to celebrate the mortgage shredding for this new church. I say, thank you, God. The week after, we will look at transformation again. The week after that is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. We will look at that. The week after that will be transformation again. The week after that will be communion again. And that's how we're going to unfold here, should Jesus tarry, for the next little while. And so we're going to prepare for communion now. And so I want to encourage us, as is instructed in the Word of God, to take a moment to examine ourselves and prepare for the Lord's table. You don't have to be a member in the Free Methodist Church, but you have to know Christ as Lord. If you don't know Christ as Lord, it's just a formality that means nothing. You need to know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, today's the day to get right with Jesus. And I don't mean know about Him, I mean surrender. I mean repent of sin. I mean believe in Him as Lord and receive Him as Savior. And when we have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior into our lives, He has invited us to come together on a regular basis and remember what He has done for us. We call it communion. And in preparation for this communion, He says, examine yourselves so that we don't come to the communion table in an unworthy manner. And so we're going to take a moment of silent prayer to give ourselves that opportunity to examine ourselves and get right before God, and then we will partake of the elements of the bread and the cup together. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful new morning, this opportunity to worship you like this. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. We've just celebrated your birth. Thank you for coming as a human and as God. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for giving of yourself, your life, your blood. We celebrate that again today, and we say thank you. We've examined ourselves. We come to this communion table now, this morning, Heavenly Father, to remember. Remember your love. Remember the blood of Jesus, the sacrificial death, the resurrection from the dead. To remember, Heavenly Father, how you have provided for us. And so thank you again for this communion table. Guide us by your Spirit as we celebrate around it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.